Melbourne, hear the sound of drumming. Must be the victory coming. Pumped up and full of running. Victory the brave. Blue, white and silver flying. Strike like a flash of lightning. Revved up and full of fighting. Victory the brave.
The CEO of Melbourne Victory comes in, and I think we start by saying the Barisha is overrated. Kicked three last week, but still no good because when his back was against the wall, we saw the true Bess.
Morning, Finey, and it's great to hear you in good health.
I'm back.
You're back. Bess is back. Some would say he was never too far away, but he was definitely back with a bang on Saturday night, as are you. It was great to speak to Kevin in your absence last week, but good to see you well. And the team performed very well on Saturday night. It was a tough away encounter. The Wanderers are never to be underestimated, remembering, of course, that off the back of last year, they now go into an ACL campaign. And they walked away from the earlier result at Etihad, where we also got a 3-0 result, smarting from that night with a couple of disputed calls. But a solid performance. And Bess probably... Well, football's a funny thing, isn't it, Finey? Bess probably had three or four chances more to score the week before against Perth, couldn't, and then gets three chances and bang, 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 in they go. So it sets up, as the small paper says today, a Christmas cracker for the derby on Saturday night.
I'm a Melbourne Victory fan, and I found the game against Perth Glory maybe the most frustrating in a couple of seasons, because the reverse side to that coin was it was maybe the best game of the season by Melbourne Victory. They started to look more like the team that fans expect, with great width on the pitch, using more than just, you know, one channel to get the ball into the penalty area. There were options aplenty. That second goal seemed inevitable, but that's the beauty of soccer. And sometimes that second goal or first goal never comes. It allows upsets and things like FA Cup shocks. It's a low-scoring sport, and that goal never came. But I was really interested after the game. Barisha got interviewed, and he said, they're a great midfield. We're getting serviced. It's just a matter of time, and he was right.
Yeah, look, it's as you say, you look at a body of work across two games, you look at a body of work across 10 so far in the season, and after a bit of a muted start with the disappointment of not walking away with 3 points from round one in Brisbane and then coming back and clearly the disappointment from the home derby. So and then followed up shortly after with the knockout in the semi-final of the FFA Cup. So we've gathered some momentum. We've had a couple of little blips with injuries. Mitch Austin's been out for a couple of weeks. Marco Rojas had some international duty as well. But what we've seen is young players stepping up and grabbing their opportunities. And I think with Maxi Beister starting last week, finally for the first time.
I'd like to talk about Max, because he came into the world of football that I host and is still taking place on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. Great contributions with Dave Davidovich and Michael Zapponian. Maxi came in for the full hour. He's a very intelligent young man. People don't realise that there was a point in time through his teenage years where he was right up there with the elite strikers in German football and was expecting to be part of their international team. His career sort of stagnated, and then he didn't play last year. But he's a player who at one point in time was rated as highly as some of their current modern-day superstars.
Without question, Finey, he actually played for Germany all the way up through to under-19 level. And I think he's just it's about not just rebuilding faith in his body, but rebuilding faith in his game and his love for the game. And Kevin's given him nothing but support. You know, he's given him a taste of it, and then he started on Saturday night, and I thought his shot that ultimately brought about Bess's first goal was compelling, and it provides another attacking threat from just outside the box. So, look, a lot to be excited about with a busy period of games coming up now. Whilst we've got Saturday night as the away derby and then a break across the Christmas weekend, we then very quickly come back with matches on the 28th at Amy and then on the 2nd down at Geelong. So for all of our friends down around the Bellarine Peninsula in the Christmas break, a fantastic game down there against Newcastle, the game against the Mariners on the 28th at Amy Park. So a big, big festive season in front of us, Finey.
Whether it was Melbourne City or their predecessor, Melbourne Heart, even though the games have often, as derbies do, thrown up surprise results, over that period, Melbourne Victory has been the bigger brother. And that dynamic has changed this year with the arrival of Tim Cahill and the fact that they've been able to hold their squad together with Fornaroli and Brandon Dan. They're a deep, powerful squad that most people consider bat deepest in the comp, even deeper than Sydney FC, who were undefeated. This would be an away from home, really, even though you do play it, Amy. This would be I'd consider it a famous win for the club if we can take the 3 points.
It certainly will be a match with all of the compelling theatre that goes with the derby. As I was saying to you off air before, it's in a short period of time now, across all of the sports that play in Melbourne, and I suppose the Stars and the Renegades are another example of that. The Melbourne Derby, we all know what we're talking about now. It's football, it's A-League, it's Victory, and it's City. And whilst there is a derby in the AFL in Perth, there's a showdown in the AFL in Adelaide. Is there? I think it's a Q clash, isn't there? And in Queensland, there's State of Origin, obviously famously between New South Wales and Queensland in rugby league. But the derby now is becoming entrenched in the Melbourne landscape. And this will be another exciting and compelling chapter. And I've been saying this for 4 years, finally, coming on to the station with you, with KB and others. It's good for Victory and it's good for the A-League that there's a strong city. We're all about growing the pie. We're all about growing the strength of the competition. And that comes from two strong clubs. So these derbies will only continue to grow in stature, in prominence and importance. But also, we've got to remember that the same prize on Saturday night, 3 points, will await for us when we play the Mariners on the 28th and Newcastle on the 2nd. 3 points. It's a marathon. It's a long season. We're 10 rounds in. We of course, have a game in hand, finally, which is the other thing that we're not lose sight of.
That's the make-up game against Wellington Phoenix after the
earthquake.
Yeah, the stadium was impacted upon by the earthquake. Have we got a date for that?
Yeah, it's 17th of January, so we've got a tough schedule. I think we're going to end up playing about 7 games in about 35 days, but we'll play Brisbane at home on Friday the 13th at Amy, travel to Wellington to play them on the Tuesday, and then come back and then travel again to Perth to play on the Saturday before coming back for Australia Day against Sydney, and then the third derby of the year is the following Saturday after that. So it's going to be a challenging spell, but I know it's caused Kevin great frustration, and rightly so, but when we sat down with the FFA, the options to find a space to play this game around venue availability, team availability with fixtures was extraordinarily challenging, and so we're just going to have to deal with it and move on.
The ladder is, I mean, Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory currently sit second and third, but starting to lose the back of the leader, as they say in harness racing. It's been a great start to the year by Sydney FC. Their only loss was in the FFA Cup final. They're a side that has strike power, Bobo up front, and is it Halesko? They've formed a working partnership. As much as the derby, as you say, has a name, the derby, there's always going to be the big blue, and games against Adelaide are also highly prized, but we don't want, from a Melbourne perspective, to just lose sight of the leader, because it might not be able to be reeled in the old FC.
Well, it's an interesting view, and that gets back to my point about, as much as the derbies have their own special uniqueness and a point of difference all the way through to bragging rights at the water cooler on Monday morning, the season is a marathon. And as you say, in cycling terms, if you like, this time of year, I don't know that I'd necessarily, if they're playing well enough, that's fantastic. But we want to be near the front of the peloton and in touch with the leaders. So keeping Sydney within that arm's distance is important. But also, if we just are methodical and accumulating points, we'll give ourselves a body of work that allows us to push home in the last third. So we're in the middle third of the season now, finally. If you get to the last third of the season and you're having to chase because you're talking about you were an eighth, we're trying to make it into the sixth, or a sixth, we're trying to make it into the four. If we can just remain consistent and solid with our form, stay lucky with injury, and keep finding ways to put the ball in the back of the net whilst entertaining, that's the plan.
And I know you're not going to give away any team information here on a Wednesday, but Jai Ingham, who's been influential as a sub in both the games against Perth and Western Sydney, I thought he almost should have scored against Perth. He came on and was quite electric. Maybe would walk away from that, if not disappointed, then frustrated, but was highly influential again. And because there's so many games coming up over that New Year, January period, I think it's time for this young man to step up to the starting 11, because the Victory are going to need various starting 11s, and I think he's made of the right stuff.
Yeah, well, it's interesting with juggling Jamie Donaghy and Nick Ansell around Alan Barrow in the back. You know, Broxy's been playing at fullback, which has kept Georgeski on the bench after he recovered from injury. Troisi's really settled in comfortably into the 10 role. And you've got Mitch Austin, you've got Fahid, you've got Jai, you've got Marco, obviously, and now Maxi. So Kevin's got some options there, which, of course, any manager or coach would crave to have. And that's I think, is going to be a real strength of what we or how we're going to deal with this fixture challenge over, really, the next 6 weeks through to the end of January before we get some breathing space.
And hasn't there been a return to form? Not total comprehensive and as meaningful as a couple of years ago, but Fahid Benkelfala has certainly reignited the passion and the love that the fans have for him, and maybe even that Kevin now has for him again, because he's wonderful to watch when he's on song.
He's certainly refound his mojo, if you like. I think the challenge for Fahid in many respects was because he set the bar so high in that first season and set expectations, and that's what everyone was then looking for him to continue. And by his own assessment, he would have been frustrated at some of his output, but he's found his mojo back, and I think that Saturday night was the first time he played probably the full 90 minutes in a little while. So again, lots to talk about, and it's a really exciting time, and plenty to talk about too with football as well, finally, which I think is another sign of growth of the game. In the paper today, there's the talk of the derby, obviously. There's talk of Ronaldo and his Ballon d'Or. There's the talk of the prospective Argentina-Brazil game at the MCG. Wow. There's a lot of hype and excitement around football, the world game, and that's off the back, of course, of only a week or so ago with those participation numbers being released that confirmed, you know, football is the number one participation sport in the country.
Welcome back. Robbo's doing some air drumming, which makes me think that he might have been in a band in his uni days.
In my dreams.
No? Never happened?
No, in my dreams. Oh. Always wanted to play the drums, though.
I would have loved to have been musical.
Yeah. My son's playing... It's ridiculous. My son's playing guitar, and he can play AC/DC whilst watching them on the screen, you know, on with YouTube, whatever it is, and it's just I'd love to be able to do that. But no, in my dreams, I'm a drummer. But,
I've got a daughter, the same thing. She's overseas at the moment, but here's a song that goes to the piano or the guitar or he just starts playing it.
With Melbourne's traffic, I do some of my best work on the fan of drums
Melbourne.
In the car.
How's Melbourne traffic? You know, I heard that there's going to be a closure of the Tullamarine Freeway in total for 4 days during January.
Yeah.
It's still going to be a better choice than the Monash.
There was something, I think it might have been on KB or somebody, I heard, you know, people talking about Melbourne with a 20-year vision and saying, well, what would still be happening in 20 years' time? Someone said there'll be roadworks on the Monash in 20 years' time. We live in a beautiful city, the world's most livable city, finally, a city full of summer options for sport. And we like to think that A-League, Melbourne Victory, is right at the forefront of that.
Well, I mean, it's busy, but it's working. NBL is enjoying a resurgence, and they're aiming to get back to the golden days of the 90s. We know the Big Bash League has now really taken a place, maybe not with passionate support for the clubs, as we were talking about in the first hour, but certainly with a festival atmosphere. They pack out grounds. It's quick. It's fun. That's up and running and going well. We've got the Women's Football League about to encroach. Rugby starts. There's rugby. There's, of course, cricket, the mainstay. Traditional cricket I'm talking about. Had an ad just before for Australian Baseball League. They're doing what they can with a popular entertainer, apparently. Don't know him, but they say he's good. Headlining their pre-game entertainment. They really do what they can, and baseball's always been great fun for entertainment. Is the A-League keeping pace? Are they matching these challenges? And how are the metrics?
Well, it's interesting you say, yeah, the metrics for the league at the elite level are
word metrics? Because I've only heard people...
It's probably my word. It's a marketing word.
I've heard other people use it. I've never used it
before.
Yeah,
the metrics, the measures, you know, memberships up, attendances are up, viewership is
eyeballs.
Up. Eyeballs. All of those key things are up for our league. And, you know, typically in mainstream media, that stuff only really matters if things are down, because then people start to talk about what's wrong with that game or that code. But all of our metrics are strong. our league is, you know, 12 years. This is our 12th season. It's 12. So it's still, whilst football itself has been here forever, basically, this league is still very much finding its feet. We're embedding history. You talked to before. For as much as we've got the derby, before there was the derby, there was the Big Blue. There was, you know, the footy feel between Victory and Adelaide, and, you know, that moment with Cosmina and Muskie on the sidelines. Some brilliant, iconic moments that almost stand the time in Australian sport beyond simply football. Archie's 5 goals at Etihad Stadium in a grand final. See, put a smile on your face.
I was ground announcer that night.
Well, there you go. So these are iconic moments in sport. And look, what I suppose that football has the benefit of finding is that link those conversations about the A-League with the strength of the game in a grassroots sense. So there's an extraordinary pipeline of people that are now coming through and playing the game. And a lot of those people mightn't necessarily have an affinity to, an attraction to the A-League. They've probably got a Premier League team or something. You know, they follow, you know, Madrid or Barcelona, follow Liverpool or Glasgow Celtic, and their kids play. And the challenge is the opportunity for the A-League is to fill that void and say Victory, City, all of the teams in the A-League can play a very, very meaningful part in their summer diet of sport, because we know how competitive it is in winter. Sports become very, very crowded across the summer, and we've just got to continue to focus to put a good, entertaining product out there, and that's, I'm sure, what it'll be again on Saturday night.
What will it take for the A-League to take the next step up in terms of crowd quality, and just, you'll know as CEO of Melbourne Victory when the A-League makes a quantifiable leap forward. Is it going to be A, free-to-air TV with the next rights deal? Is it going to be B, signing of more marquee and champion players that are identifiable sometimes through that damn FIFA game, but doesn't matter how kids know them. Is it going to be more of them at the end of their careers? C, is it going to be expansion of the league? D, is it going to be all of the above? Or E, something else altogether?
No, look, I think your answer is, if I had to nominate one key thing that could help drive, it's you know, we need to build on the strength and the loyalty of the support that we've had from Fox Sports, Patrick Delaney and his team from the start, the get-go of our competition. Mm-hmm. We need to complement that strength now with a mainstream FDA partner.
Yep.
I don't think there's any escaping that finding. And whether it's one game a week, whether it's two games a week,
and on their channel, it must be on the main channel.
Yeah, the main channel, and across the summer, there's definitely a window for that. And that's the beauty of a 27-week or 27-round season and 3 weeks of finals. There's 30 weeks of content that you can go to a broadcaster, free to air or pay, and say, "Here's a big, big chunk of broadcasting opportunity across the summer months." And so we think we've got a product that definitely has its place. Now, we're in the middle of those negotiations at the moment, so that becomes a conversation about value, how much it's worth, rather whether it has its place, which I believe it definitely has. So then you talk about, yes, we need to continue to invest in quality recruiting of marquee players. And, you know, there was speculation about Robbie Keane, speculation about Stevie Gerrard, speculation that obviously ultimately saw Tim Cahill come back home to play. So the fact that the league's been seen increasingly as a mainstream place to come, irrespective of where you're at in your career, whether it's Maxi Beister trying to rebuild his career or Tim looking for a run all the way through to the next World Cup, it's a strong, strong league. It's a very competitive league, providing a great and compelling product.
And Australia is, for many overseas players, a desirable place to come, especially if they've got a young family, for one, two, any number of years. They like coming down under.
Without question. This thing trades on the fact that Melbourne is the most livable city. We know it's not cheap on the world stage. You know, going by a cup of coffee in Milan or New York as against buying one in Melbourne, that'll tell you that. But in terms of the livability of the city, come and bring a family. We see, sadly,
just don't drive on the roads.
Well, there's that element, but public transport works pretty well.
Yes.
Look, there's all this livability issues, and we know the broader security challenges that some people are facing in various countries in the world. And sadly, we saw it again with a football stadium being targeted in Turkey across the weekend. Just terrible. They're the sorts of things we never ever want to take for granted here. And that's what one of the delights of being able to live in this beautiful country and in this magnificent city.
What's not a delight is my mate Nick from Windsor. He's a good mate of mine, crowing about Everton, even though they beat Arsenal. So I can sort of cop that, but I know that on the weekend I'm going to get an earful from Nick. Such is his passion for the Toffees. Michael's in Wheelers Hill. Good morning to you, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's happening with the active fan, the North Terrace? Because the atmosphere has just dropped away terribly.
Oh, Michael, we've been really clear and consistent about how there were going to be a number of changes about the way the active support and specifically the North Terrace was going to be delivered, if you like, this season off the back of a whole range of pretty frustrating and disappointing circumstances last year. We mustn't lose sight of the fact, Michael, the club still has a 3-point suspended sanction hanging over its head, which runs through until the end of the season. And we've just sat down collaboratively and have done that again in recent weeks, looking for a new way forward that just repositions the way the North Terrace have conducted their activities on match day, because there's nothing more compelling for us than the chanting, the atmosphere, that unique match day atmosphere that they help to deliver. But we've got to work within the bounds of public standards, of the law, and specifically with regard to a no tolerance policy. Enough is enough with regard to the ignition of flares. And we saw one earlier in the year at the Derby. I hope that we don't see a repeat of that on Saturday night, because the consequences are there for all to see. And this is where we need to separate that. Active behaviour is one clear thing that we all embrace and support. But anything that then undermines, endangers, jeopardises the team, and what could be more fundamental than that, than the prospective loss of points, Finey, is something we can't abide by.
Well, let's hope the policing around the game is appropriate. And the reason I say that is last year, by happenstance, I found myself in the middle of the pre-game walk by the Melbourne City fans to the Derby against Melbourne Victory.
Yeah.
I got a flat tyre. I came off the Monash there, just come to City, and I just slashed my tyre. And I limped into town and stopped at a 7-Eleven on King Street or something. And within 5 minutes, my car was surrounded by mounted police. And there was a huge number of mounted police and police with riot gear. And then I saw the Melbourne City fans. It was like 120 kids behaving pretty well, making their way to the ground. It was overkill, and sometimes the situation creates a response. And like, I'm very pleased that there was no serious incidents and there was good behaviour by all. But you put that sort of confrontational policing around something that doesn't deserve it, and sometimes you get the answer that you were worried about as a result. And I'm genuine about that. It needs to be appropriate.
Yeah, we speak to, and I know Scott Munn and I see this very 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 much from the same perspective, from the City and the Victory perspective. You're working closely with the key security stakeholders, and that becomes a complex scenario finally, because it's not just the stadium, it's the stadium who hire the security staff. We then work with police. We then deal with the state government. We've got a very active media watching every step we take in these circumstances. So sometimes, as you say, the potential is there for things to come out of nothing, when the reality is that everyone's intent is good and right. And we hope that again is the case on Saturday night, that we love the passion of the fans. But all that we ask is that there is a line that's called respect, where we acknowledge and respect that people will come to the match on Saturday night with different colours, cheering for different teams. But we all work away at the end of the day as people who are citizens of Melbourne and of this great city and this great sporting town, the sporting capital, not just of Australia, of the world. So I think it's a shared ambition we have, and I know that's shared by Vic Pohl and the stadium operators, and we'll continue to work closely with all of them, because we want that unique, safe, friendly environment on match day, because I think it's a unique and compelling selling point for not just our football club, but for the league.
Finally, off the SMS, you mentioned New York Coffee.
Yeah, well, Jade Watson's a pretty handy barista, I think.
Well, off the SMS, the coffee is crap in New York. Now,
that's why all the Australian cafes have started finally over there. That statement's right. They can't make coffee. We've had to go over there and show them.
Yeah, the iconic New York coffee cup is that paper cup with like Greek symbols on it. But, you know, if the coffee is crap in New York, maybe that's good. Because when I was in Bali, I got dragged to somewhere where weasels ate coffee beans and then pooed it out, and it was the most expensive coffee on the planet. So crap coffee is the best coffee.
I've done the same thing in the name of tourism.
Yeah, in the name of let's get away from the beach and go up to...
One box tick that I don't need to tick again.
Is coffee made out of poo. Have a great game on the weekend for all the right reasons. I'm a Victory fan. I'd love to see the win, but also crowd engagement the right way. Everything you said, Robbo, and we'll catch up next week.
And finally, just it's my last shout with you before Christmas.
Okay, so we won't catch up. Great to see you, and thanks on behalf of Kevin and all of the listeners for a great year.
Now, thank you, and to all of the listeners, irrespective of A-League fans or not, let's stay safe, let's look after each other, and remember, in the words of our great friends at TAC, the most important present we can give each other this Christmas is to be present. So please take care on the roads and take care, everybody. Thank you.